Welcome to the miseducation of David and Gary. We're miseducated, but we're going to learn.
Hey, everybody. This is the miseducation of David and Gary, and we've been to Taradise. I am Gaspacho Jones, a.k.a. Gary.
And I am David, a.k.a. Homeworking Whore.
So, I know what everybody wants to know. How was TaraCon?
Well, at this point, like, TaraCon was great, but honestly, it's Felicicon. Felicicon. I'm sorry if she eventually hears this, I'm sorry for mispronouncing her name.
Felissa
Kat kept pronouncing it properly, but yeah, it was more of like Felicicon. Like, Tara is excellent, but the true fucking personality, it was Felissa.
Felissa Rose from Sleepaway Camp was literally one of the greatest celebrities we have ever met in our entire life. And I don't understand why people spend all this money to meet a celebrity to take a picture of them for 3 seconds when you can go meet horror icons. And she literally was talking to us for like a half an hour.
And nonstop pictures. It's just like the biggest personality. Like, truly fantastic. Like, I get everyone else that was there, like, you know, they're doing their thing.
Yeah.
We ain't shit talking. Everyone there was fantastic. All the people we met were fantastic. Tara was indeed fantastic. She is a tiny icon.
She is tiny. Wow. She could fit in my pocket. Tara was great. David and I brought two celebrities to tears.
Yeah, like, Tara didn't realize that, like, you know, we made shirts for her, and she truly didn't realize like how much she meant to us. And she was like, you know, she was about to cry. It meant a lot to her because, you know, people, some celebrities, certain celebrities don't.
Mark Paul Gosselaar,
who didn't show up.
You prick.
Yeah. But like, you know, the celebrities there, like, they just don't expect the true like happiness like that they bring to people, like their movies bring to people. Like, Josie and the Pussycats, as we're going to explain in the show, like, brought a lot of joy to us. You know, Urban Legends.
Yes.
I have to rewatch it, but I'm sure, you know, she gets killed in that. But you know what? I'm sure that brought us joy.
Yeah, her 10-second scene in Big Lebowski is...
Yeah, she was good.
Her off. Yeah,
like,
she's good.
You know, I forget she's in that, but like, when you bring it up, I'm like, oh yeah, she was in that. She was good in that.
Yeah, and she told us her favorite movie was Josie and the Pussycats, and I don't blame her. It's one of the greatest movies of all time, and David can back me up on this, because I say it a lot, but it is.
You say a lot of things a lot, so I can't keep track of what you say. Okay.
You don't have to keep track, baby boy. That's what I'm here for, with detailed notes. So we did have an amazing time. We
did not do a live like we said we were gonna, because, you know, we are dumb.
We just didn't do a live because by the time we were like, okay, so I'm not going to name hotels, but our hotel lost our reservation. So I was at the front desk for about an hour when David got $8 of gigantic gelato.
Holy fuck. This is what I feel bad for, because Kat and Adam bought these delicious looking pot, like ice cream cones, like soft serve. Yes. They paid $8 for that. Meanwhile, at the hotel, I get the same price gelato, and the bitch like mounted it to where it was so, it was delicious, but it was so obnoxious that I could not eat it fully properly, and I couldn't finish it.
Y'all, it was like a cartoon ice cream. Like, there's David in his Taradise shirt trying to balance like 19 scoops of gelato.
It was, and then I didn't have a belt for my pants, so my pants were like dropping, and the hotel we were at, we didn't realize how far of a walk it was on the boardwalk. It was what, 45 minutes?
Yeah, it was about 45 minutes. So, and I was like, wow, I'm tired.
So we walked, we're all wearing matching shirts, but in different colors. We're walking down the boardwalk. It's hot. I, of course, but now you've experienced the running joke of me not wearing the proper shoes when I go away to things.
Oh yeah, I realized it when I saw your boots, and I was like, "You, who are you, Adam? Both of you guys are wearing like fucking like shit kicking boots."
The thing is, the difference between me and Adam, Adam doesn't have 200 pounds of body fat that are like weighing him down. I have that, so my ankles were fucked. And like my body was fucked. And when I got into bed, Kat was like, you are not old enough to have this. I'm like, yes, I am, Kat. My body is shit. I have not taken care of it in years. So this is the price I pay. But yeah, no, it, and then the board, let's talk about, so this is my first, like the last time I was in Atlantic City for like the HorrorCon, the shit that we're going to go to in September that I went years ago, I stayed at the Showboat. So I didn't go on the boardwalk and I didn't do any walking. So I never got to experience fully how disgusting Atlantic City is.
Oh, it's disgusting.
We saw two, I hate to say attractive, but attractive meth addicts doing shaves, doing like barber shaves on the boardwalk for $5 with a, like a fucking knife, like a big buck knife that I really don't think is sanitary. And someone was getting a shave done. I'm like, who does this?
Well, I think he was a meth head too, David.
God bless him though. But yeah, no, it was a great weekend. We got to have a drunken FaceTime with Kat, which is sister Chrissy, who invited me into her marriage as a third. That was the highlight. That was a big highlight, but overall, fantastic weekend in a gross city.
Hold on. Yeah, so my sister did have a wild FaceTime with us where she gave David a pep talk that he didn't need. And
no, honestly, I didn't need it because you know what? She's so, the Contessa children, it's just you and her, right? Like there's no other ones floating around. You guys are such extremes, like because you are like empowering, but you're also an asshole.
Oh, yeah, I'm totally.
On the other hand, is just so sweet. And when she's empowering, it's just like, it's adorable.
She sure is. I love her so much. I really am upset that she did not come. I hope that next time we do something, she comes, because we had a blast. How did you like meeting Adam and Kat?
I loved it.
Yeah, David is all talk. Did not beat him up like he said he was going to.
Because I feel bad. He's like, he's super shy. He barely talked. Like, he talks, but like, he barely talks. And it's adorable, but like, he's like, I thought he was going to be, he's like super bitchy, but he's not. Oh, what are you telling him about my life? Because he thought I was a nutritionist.
I told him you're a nutritionist. No, I told him you worked in the vitamin shop.
Ugh. Yeah, but so he just got nutritionist out of that?
I don't know. Maybe I told him you were a nutritionist. I don't fucking remember shit. I'm drunk.
You're always drunk.
Drunk on power.
Yes, you are. That's so powerful.
So tell everybody the wonderful story of how Kathy woke you up at 3 o'clock at like 7:45 in the morning.
No, so I woke up on my own. And the minute I woke up, she's like already. She's like, okay, like let's go. I'm like, no, I need to relax. Like, I need to unwind as I wake up. She's like, no, your eyes are already open. Get off the phone. I'm like, okay, I guess I'm going.
Yeah. That's Kathy. We had a great time. On Sunday when we got home, all three of us watched Morbius. David, we did not hear a line of dialogue. We just talked at this movie for the entire like hour and 45 minutes. An unnecessary hour and 45 minutes.
Well, do you really need to pay attention to the movie?
Oh, no.
Yeah. Like, I really feel like you don't need to, like, really pay attention to the plot of the movie.
No, you don't. it was awful. So awful that I don't know anything that happened in it besides him fighting Doctor Who and Morbin. It was just Morbin.
It's always the Morbin time.
So, how was the rest of your weekend?
Same old. It's, you know, when you I went right back to work Monday, and then it's just been a constant annoyance. So that's the problem with vacations. This is the end, because you have to come back to your reality, and then you realize your reality sucks.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what sucked even worse? Poor Kathy. It took her, like, her flight was canceled. So she found out the flight was canceled. We were watching House of Gucci. Her flight was canceled at like 10 o'clock in the morning when her flight was going to start off at 12. No, yeah, 10 o'clock she found out, because it was 2 hours she was going to leave. Then she was on the phone for like 3 or 4 hours with them trying to get new reservations. They said everything was sold out. She wound up going through another airline. They were like, okay, we can fly you into Austin, but there's an hour layover in St. Louis, like Sex and the City.
Did she meet anyone in St. Louis?
She met Jennifer Hudson.
Oh. And
she taught her that all passwords should be love.
Fucking hate that movie. I hate everything about that movie.
I know you hate that movie. So what happened then was she went and canceled the flight. And canceled it twice. She wound up having to take a flight into San Antonio, which is about an hour away from where she was, where she lives, and did not get home until like almost 3 o'clock in the morning. Her father had to pick her up at San Antonio. Ugh. Yep. That's... What a flight. Because there's no flights.
It's the way we live in right now. Just fucking everything is terrible and awful, and no one can do their jobs or no one can get jobs. It's just a nightmare. We're in a continuous nightmare. It just needs just end it already. Either like end the world or just make it better. Just this in between is fucking annoying.
No, it's true. It's terrible. The world has gotten even more terrible. Poor women. Now they don't even have rights to their own bodies, because we are living in the worst timeline ever. Yeah. So what's her name? Giselle fucking child rapist. She only got 20 years for child trafficking and supplying fucking pedophiles with children.
She's gonna be murdered. Just give it time. Yeah, she's not gonna do that full 20-year sentence, because she will be murdered.
Then we also got R. Kelly, that got 30 years for grooming and raping 13-year-olds. So yeah, congrats. But I'm so glad.
Yeah, good thing that he got a longer sentence.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Granted, Giselle Maxwell could have had more, but yeah, like I said, she's gonna be murdered soon. It's fine. She'll be suicided in her cell.
Well, you know, we can hope.
Yeah.
So the Supreme Court overturned Roe versus Wade, which, of course, because, you know, women don't have any authority over their own bodies. They don't have the ability to, you know, you know, make choices for themselves. So the Supreme Court will make choices for them. So you know what? For a big fuck you, any t-shirt on our T Public store this month, whatever proceeds we make from it, and they match it 100%, we're donating to Planned Parenthood. So if you guys love us, even if you don't, buy a t-shirt. We're going to have a couple new designs out by Monday because I'm off tomorrow after two. David has a couple of designs in his wheelhouse. You know what? At the end of the day, thank you. Thank you for supporting us as you always do. But if you do want to get a special gift for somebody and know that the money is going to the right place, shop in our store for July.
Yeah, please. You know, because you know what? Realistically, you were born from a woman. You know a woman. Yeah. You know, unfortunately, you weren't aborted, which right now I feel like y'all wish that the time we're living in, because I know I wish every day. Yeah. Or I wish, you know, there were better options for women when they go, like, because, you know, Planned Parenthood not just does, you know, some of them don't even do the abortions, but
yeah,
clinics like that in general, just it's health and it's health. It's women's health. Women, you know, have different bodies than the men. They need different things, like health-wise. And when those get stripped away, it's just, it's not, you know, you know a woman.
Yeah.
You want to help them out and just do it. And, you know, and a lot of these clinics are unfortunately getting firebombed. So they're going to need to be rebuilt too. So just please do all you can. Even if you can't afford it, just figure out some kind of way to help out. You know,
we will be posting in our Instagram stories like we generally do. We will be posting the link to Planned Parenthood if you want to donate, but you don't want to buy a t-shirt. You know, just donate and anything helps. Like, you know, we as you know, we are the two gayest people that love women more than anything in this world. So we will do anything to support you. And even if it's $100 we donate, it's $100 that's coming from our hearts. So we love you guys. We respect you. And we want you to have the rights that everybody deserves. So whatever we could do, we're going to do it for you guys.
We're going to do everything we can.
Yeah. Plus, we love titties. So
the titties is the best because they really, you know what? They gave nourishment when you're born, if you were breastfed. So yeah, so them titties and the milk, them bouncy, delicious titties. It's hot. I am nauseous. It is just so hot. And yeah, I got to stop wearing a hoodie in the heat to work, but I can't help it.
Yeah. You wore a hoodie the really entire nice, time we were in.
Yeah, it's a nice Stranger Things hoodie. It's like the Hawkins High School logo, and it's nice. I love it. And it's 3X, so it covers my fat, even though I have no one to impress at that job. But still, I can't help it. Body dysmorphia is doing a number on me.
You are perfect. Shut up.
You are perfect.
I know.
Except for, so, you know, Gary is a rude bitch. You know, set heads up for our viewer fans. This is the second time me and Gary have met in real life. And it was a weekend. So it wasn't just like, oh, you know, a day out to lunch. It was a weekend. So it was really nice. He's a bitch though, because there was an after party, like karaoke after party at this convention. So we went, it was empty. So as we were about to leave, Tara Reid walks in and he getting me in Adam's face. He's like, oh, I guess I have to do everything. And
because you guys hid like it was fucking daylight and you were both vampires. I'm like, what's she going to do?
She can get her posse to attack us. I don't know.
So, Tara Reid, if you're listening to this, we do love you, but you know, we did buy you a drink and you didn't even say thank you.
she was focused on gambling. She was going to gamble, you know, when in Rome, when in Atlantic City, which I'm sad I didn't do any gambling. I should have done that.
We're not going
to do that. Other highlight.
Too busy wasting money on stupid shit. Like,
yes. Like, oh God. Yeah. All right. That reminds me. I have to mail. So I had Tracy Gold of Growing Pains fame signing a graduation card for Carlene's children. I'm not going to say what it's cute. I'm not going to say what's on the air because I want to be surprised. But while she was signing that, me and Tracy got to talk shit about Kirk Cameron.
This was great. Let the cheese spill.
I flat out asked her, I'm like, how insufferable was Kirk Cameron? And she said, and then she did air marks when she said, oh, he was fine before air marks the change. I'm like, yeah, there it is.
Yeah.
She's like, everything after that, insufferable.
Of course. And then Tracy Gold, who dealt with body images and bulimia, it was worse than that for her.
Yeah. You know, like just Kirk Cameron is insufferable. Kirk Cameron is worse than bulimia, alcoholism. He is.
Yeah.
The worst thing about life. And then I also met Judith Haug from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, April O'Neil, and Halloween Town. But I only know her from Halloween Town because I didn't see the Ninja Turtles.
Sarah, I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, but we got to talking. She said that she wasn't going to do Halloween Town until she saw that Debbie Reynolds was in it. Then she only signed on for that. And then she said she loved Debbie Reynolds. Working with her, she learned so much. And I'm like, see, like, in my life, I've never heard anyone talk shit about Debbie Reynolds.
Because no one has to. She was fucking amazing.
Debbie Reynolds is like, she is one of the top notch, like true icons. She's
a
phenomenal
icon,
actress.
Yes.
And then her family too. Carrie Fisher and what's her name?
Billy Lord.
Like, so really talented family. I truly feel bad that like Billy Lord in a short time span lost her mom and grandma, which is it's devastating. But yeah, no, like everyone we met, you know, oh, and then like, I feel bad I didn't pay for it, but I met Dave Sheridan because as we were talking to Felissa, he came up and talked to us. And I'm like, hey, you were amazing in Ghost World, Scary Movie. I'm sorry about Corky Romano. And then he told me Chris Kattan gets bullied by directors and producers on sets, which is it's heartbreaking to hear that.
So we did get some amazing stories from everybody, and we also got probably our first celebrity podcast. Felissa was so excited that we were so excited to meet her. She said she wants to do the podcast and talk about Sleepaway Camp. So
she didn't respond to your email.
Not yet. But she's been in Disneyland. So
yeah, I was just gonna say, so now follow on our Instagram. She's in Disney with her family. So have fun, baby. She does these convention circuits and movies, like she marathons them. So when she finds the time to like take, you know, relax for herself, you do it.
I gotta tell you, we said it before, Tara Reid was a dream come true. She took like 40 pictures with us. And then when we met Felissa, everybody loved our Paradise shirts, except really Tara. She didn't realize it. But literally every celebrity that we met were like, those shirts are amazing. So we will be doing a special t-shirt for Felissa when she comes on the show.
Called Kissed by a Rose.
Kissed by a Rose. We will be getting her sending one to her. And when she comes on the show, she said she wants to talk about whatever we want to talk about. So all we want to talk about is Sleepaway Camp. So
we're going
to
talk about Sleepaway Camp and then just anything.
Anything she wants. Talk about. She could talk for 6 hours straight and we will sit there and listen and be happy because we love her.
Yeah, like she's everything. She's fantastic. And then the next weekend, no, the 9th, I will be meeting Ginger Lynn.
Nice.
I am so excited to meet her. And believe it or not, this VHS festival, it will be a modest shopping. I will not be going crazy because I don't have the funds to do it.
It's okay. We can start an OnlyFans where we stamp in grapes and stuff like that because people love feet.
I need to get my shit together working out. I need to work out and get a good body because honestly, I want to just get. I will use my body money-wise for sex. I will do that. Mm. I will become a sex worker because you know what? Sex workers, you know, the ones that don't have terrible times, like heartbreaking stories, you know, I want to be one of those people who sell their bodies for money so I can focus on like my art career. You know, yeah. I'll get a sugar daddy, a sugar mama. Just, I will do it all. Just because I don't want to like work anymore.
Me either. So a couple of things in the news this week. Alec Baldwin of 30 Rock and doing a Trump impersonation for 4 years on Saturday Night Live is doing an interview with his icon, Woody Allen. So Woody, when you rape that child, what did it feel like? It felt great. It was great. Raping a child is great. Oh, I agree. You know, when Hilaria, you know, my Espanol wife had made tapas, we were like, oh, if only I met you when you were 15, like my idol Woody Allen. Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking about. You know, your sexy wife, if only she was underage. Fuck you both.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
How do you fucking idolize Woody Allen, the biggest piece of shit known to mankind?
Because Alec Baldwin is the biggest piece of shit.
You took the words right out of my lap. My lap. You took the words right out of my lap, dude.
He hasn't been enjoyable since Beetlejuice.
Yeah. And
he wasn't even good in fucking 30 Rock. Like, because 30 Rock had a full cast ensemble of like talent. We just happened to have Alec Baldwin. Okay.
Woo-hoo. First of all, Alec Baldwin. Go fuck yourself. Go fuck your stupid bitch wife. Who had 17 children.
His brothers are way better.
Yeah. Oh, so fun story about Alec Baldwin. My friend used to be his doorman, and he would hear him calling the paparazzi before leaving. So you know how he was always like, oh, these fucking paparazzi, they're always bothering me and Hilaria. Yeah, he was calling the pops on himself. Like, go fuck yourself, Alec Baldwin. Go fuck yourself in that fucking pedophile piece of shit.
Your Woody Allen spot on, and your Alec Baldwin is like half Baldwin and Batman.
Yeah, so it's me, Alec Baldwin. And, you know, I got fat. I was on 30 Rock. And, you know, Tina Fey saved my career. And now I worship this fucking pedophile.
I'm not a pedophile anymore. Soon he's of age. I was a pedophile a couple of years ago. That's not the point. Like, once a pedo, always a pedo.
Yeah. Both of you, get into a pit of fire. And I want to throw shockma on you both.
That monkey, that beautiful baboon monkey. I love him.
Yeah, we will be getting to Josie and the Pussycats and eventually, but we did have a discussion and we're throwing it out here. We may start a Patreon where it'd be $2 to $3 a month. You would get a bonus episode every week where David and I would do Siskel and Ebert. But what's the twist on that, David?
So we are going to we're going to go shot for shot retelling movies that we've seen that we know already of. And we're just going to replace half the plot with Shockma in it.
Yeah. Every week you guys get a new Shockma. You get tons of Shockmentainment.
So like that poster I made with Halloween Resurrection, the Shockma Resurrection.
Oh my God.
Imagine Halloween Resurrection, but with Shockma. So like, you know, Shockma is attacking Busta Rhymes and Tyra Banks and other people. So, yeah, you'll get, you know, retellings of classic movies with Shockma. And then you'll get special art that you won't see on main pages. So, like, if you like the shit we did personally for Carlene and our lovely super fans, you will get personalized shit, too.
Yeah. Speaking of the devil, we got to personalize some shirts for our buddies, Nicolette and Audra. One of the Charlie's Angels. So we have No Quarter Cake, Quarter Quake, Karen. We have Always in Civil Unrest, Nicolette, and we have Audrey Leanne, Audra. They are our Charlie's Angels.
Yes. Because so, That's they love so, us, and we love have them. So much. So, like, Adam's the boyfriend of the show. Chrissy is the sister of the show. Kat's the best friend of the show. Arlene is the mother of the show, and she's also my mahogany. So she's like, she's the main figurehead because she's been day one goat. She's one of the earliest guest stars who continued to be on until after her birthday, which I'm sure she's going to disown us. And now we got our angels.
Yes.
But like Charlie's angels, not like actual angels that look terrifying. We got our Charlie's angels.
We have the Charlie's angels. We have Nick, Audra, and Karen, who Karen will be coming on our show next week to discuss Michelle Yeoh in the Multiverse of Madness.
Yes, you actually just named the episode. That's actually a really good name for the episode.
So Karen had sent me a DM the other day and she's like, you know what? If you guys had a con, I would go. And I was like, you know what? We're going to have a con in the Wendy's sunroof.
That would be the best. And you know what? Honestly, if it is an excuse to hang out with our angels and my mahogany and all our other fans, that just come up. Yeah. We want to see you. We want to love you.
I'm not going to lie. RetroCon, I probably think we could have gotten a table for less than the hotel we stayed at. And we could have had everybody come and we would have autographed t-shirts.
It would have been the best because we would just be there. People come to our table, wouldn't even come to our table, or if they did, out of curiosity, like, what are you? Like, we're a podcast.
Yeah.
We say fag a lot. We will never get sponsors. So, so come just support us. Come listen to our madness. But, you know, thanks to like our angels, they keep turning their friends and family on. So we're big in Tennessee. And I love that.
We are huge in Tennessee. Thank you guys. Audra got her buddy that works with her. She got him into the show and now he's like addicted to us. And I'm like, guys, our heads are big enough. We love you guys. But thank you guys. So we may be making a special edition Miseducated Angels shirt.
Oh, yes. So. That is exciting. And they're going to love it.
Audra just sent me a DM. So she got Nicolette the Promising Young Woman shirt.
Ooh.
And she's had it because I guess they haven't been able to hang out for a while. So she surprised her and Nicolette cried. And I'm like, you guys are so pure.
Thank you so much. So I didn't get to see that video yet. So thank you for recapping it.
You're welcome.
Yeah, because, you know, your boy has just been a busy nightmare.
No, I went back to work after being off for 4 days and the monumental shit show that it was. I'm just like, it's kind of like in the movies where you see somebody get out of a cab, walk into the house and then just turn back and get into the cab. I was ready for unemployment.
Yeah. God, that's yeah. It sucks. We're on the apocalypse and fucking we got to work during it.
Yeah, seriously. Just let us die in peace, y'all. Okay, so what movie are we talking about this week, David?
Acclaimed 2000s classic, Josie and the Pussycats.
Yes. I mean, I rewatched it about like 3 weeks ago, so I was pretty fresh, but I did rewatch it again because I just fucking love this movie. So it came out in 2001. It was directed by Deborah Kaplan and Harry Elfond, who directed Can't Hardly Wait, which you don't like, but I do love.
How do you know I didn't like Can't Hardly Wait?
Because you told me.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
I said we should do Can't Hardly Wait. And you're like, oh, I hate that movie.
Yeah. You know what? I hate Jenna Elfman now.
Oh, everybody hates Jenna Elfman.
I went through a period of watching that. No, I don't hate her for that. Just like, I went through a period watching Dharma and Greg and I just could not.
Yeah, that's your own fault. That show shouldn't have been aired.
I know, but what's his face was hot, so.
Dharma?
No, Greg.
Oh, yeah. So its budget was $39 million. Its opening weekend was only $4 million. And its worldwide gross was only $14 million, which I'm going to tell you right now, What is wrong with you people in 2001? I saw this movie like twice in the theater because I'm super faggoty.
The weird thing. So it's weird how it didn't do good in the time. But when you revisit it now, like when I went on Letterboxd, nothing but good reviews. People now understand what the movie is, yeah, which is a shame because like for its time, like watching it now compared to then. So like watching it when we were the age when it came out, like it was fun because we see it as, you know,
a goof.
Yeah, it's a boot, like it's, you know, all about capitalism, marketing, etc. But and then rewatching it now really encompassed just how much the 2000s were, the boy band craze, the styles, like it's super dated, but it is good reminiscence. It's good nostalgia of like, oh wait, we did live through this because
nostalgia. We're still living through this, David. I can't fucking sign onto Instagram without seeing fucking 75 ads before I see a post.
No, okay, no, we're living that nightmare, but like, you know, the 2000s, because you know, we lived through the 2000s, but we don't remember it until we watch the movies of it.
Yeah,
but like, but that's a pure, that's a good example. So like, that's a good example of what the 2000s were. It was specific. But then when you watch Mulholland Drive, I did not know that was a 2000s movie. I thought that was a 90s movie.
No, it was 2000. I think 2001 or 2002. First of all, before we even get into anything, this has one of the strongest casts I've ever seen.
And cameo. Like,
yes.
Literally. So, yeah, you got your main players. You got Tara Reid, of course. And Rosario Dawson, who phenomenal in everything she's in, even if it's a shit movie, she, you know, she knows the assignment. She can act in it.
She, yeah, this is crazy because like right after this movie and it got panned, like her career took an upswing because that's when she did Sin City and then she was in a bunch of movies.
She's just Death Proof.
Death Proof. Yes.
She wasn't that right.
Yeah, she was. Oh, I love that fucking movie.
That is a good movie. Like seeing that in the double feature, like Planet Terror was good, but Death Proof was just top.
Yeah, because Quentin Tarantino was like, I'm just going to make a Quentin Tarantino movie and maybe have a gun, like a couple of heads blowing off and stuff like that. I remember that Grindhouse was, I was so excited for that movie. And it really didn't disappoint. I mean, Planet Terror, I was really super excited about because Rose McGowan with the machine gun leg. And you're right. It was like, okay. So I was like, then I was like, the second part is Quentin Tarantino drive about a car.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's going to be stupid. And then I was like, this is fucking fantastic.
And then the fake trailers.
Yes, the fake trailers, everything. I have the special edition Blu-ray because... fuck you guys. When they released them originally, it was two different movies. You had to pay for each of them. Yeah. And then they did the double feature box set, which is like just a two double disc deep Blu-ray. And that one has the full movie because they didn't even have the trailers on the DVDs, which come on, those were 90% of the movie.
Because Grindhouse was amazing because it was an experience, which you don't get. So you... we're able to go to a classic double feature with dated trailers. The movies were dated. It literally was the perfect movie experience. And we don't have that anymore. And that's the worst part. We don't, movies aren't an experience anymore. Now they're a chore.
It's true. My friend Matt and I went to go see that because we were both like super fucking dorks in like, you know, sci-fi, horror and everything like that. And we sat there, it was like 3.5 hours. And I'm like, this is an amazing experience. Seeing a double feature, it's just fun. And unfortunately, it didn't do that well. So they never got to do something else like that. But God, come on, guys. You know, you could do things on a budget. Look at A24. They make every movie for like $65.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Yeah. So, a stacked cast. You got Tara, of course. You have Rachel Lee Cook.
Okay, you know, look, Rachel Lee Cook, you know, she's got, you know, she's had a modest career. She's okay. She was in She's All That. And then she's going to be in that Spirit Halloween movie. So, you know what? Not to diminish her. She was okay. But then we get others. So we get Alan Cumming, who always, you know,
always delivers.
Always delivers. Then, you have like guest stars like fucking Eugene Levy.
Yeah.
Eugene Levy. Cause it's just like, you wouldn't expect him, because this was panned as like a teen kid movie, right?
Yeah.
So you wouldn't expect him to be like in it, because he was just coming off American Pie at this, right?
Then we got Missy Pyle,
who
is perfection as Alexandra in this movie. This movie is so close to the cartoon and so jokey. She is so perfect as Alexandra. And then we have the GOAT of all time. And who is that, David?
Parker Posey.
Parker Posey simply destroys every line she has. Like, everything she says is perfection.
And like her mannerisms and just everything she did in this. Cause like, and also she hasn't been in a bad movie. Everything she's in, like Doom Generation, you saw that, right?
Oh, of course. Yeah.
She's in it briefly, but that brief scene is just fantastic. Everything, even her serious stuff, like Party Girl, that's a serious movie. And like, she was good in that.
I love that movie. House of Yes.
Yeah. So like everything she does, like comedy, serious, horror, like everything she does, even Scream 3, everything she does is just like, and it's not us exaggerating and being gay. It's just literally, no, we recognize what a true talent is. And Parker Posey is one of those true talents.
So when we do Toni Collette month, you will watch the Staircase, and Parker Posey is so great in that movie. And the show, she is doing a dramatic performance, but it's so Parker Posey. And I don't understand. We talk about Toni Collette every week. Toni Collette does not have an Oscar. Parker Posey does not have an Oscar. All of those Christopher Guest movies should have won best picture every year, because each of them are hysterical and all improvised, and everybody's performance is amazing in those movies.
I do need to dive into more Christopher Guest movies.
Yeah.
I've only ever seen Best in Show and For Your Consideration, but I've never seen them in full. So
For Your Consideration is one of the funniest movies. It is so that time, like Entertainment Tonight type. We could do a month of him one time, because there's at least four movies that we could watch. You haven't seen Waiting for Guffman or A Mighty Wind. They're all hysterical. Mighty Wind may be the weakest, but if you enjoy Parker Posey and Catherine O'Hara, you will love these movies.
I do enjoy Parker Posey and Catherine O'Hara.
So we got all these amazing performances. Parker Posey, of course, is pitch perfect. Every line read, I'm telling you, she slays this movie. The outfit she wears, her mannerisms, everything is perfect. And I don't understand. Like, I'd like to go back in time with you, David. Take a bag of poop and find all these critics' houses that they said this movie was terrible, and throw poop on their doors, because this movie is amazing. And as you said, people now appreciate it because it is such a biting satire of the 2000s. You're right. With Total Request Live.
That was a thing I forgot about, was Carson Daly and Total Request Live. Cause I'm like, oh, TRL existed. I just blocked that part of my life. And no, because you know what? It's like you said, it's good commentary. And looking back on it now, it's like, oh, I get it now. But critics, this is why, like, I don't trust critics anymore. Like, I trust my own intuition and then what, like, people I love, what they have to say. But like critics, like, you know, Siskel and Ebert, Burning in Hell, you know, I hope they, every movie that they panned, I hope they get to watch for eternity.
Mm-hmm. You cunts.
Yeah, right? Like, just snooty assholes. Like, oh, you know, let's watch this red balloon. And it's a great movie. Okay, it's a child following a fucking red balloon. Cool. Why do you love that and not fucking Josie and the Pussycats?
Yeah. This movie is great because we were talking about empowering females before. This movie is a full-blown rah-rah, we kick ass girls movie. And they're not sitting there. I mean, there is the worst character in the movie, and his name is Alan M. And they could have just written him completely out of the movie and no one would have cared. These are girls that love hanging out with their friends. They are not, you know, bitches to each other. They are girl power. They are rocking out and they're doing it together. So you don't see much of that. You know, every time they make a teen movie, and even though this is kind of like a teen movie, it's always like someone's the bitch, someone's the, you know, the hooker, the whore. And one of them is the, you know, the sweet and innocent girl. They're just doing what this movie could be replaced with all boys and you wouldn't know, because it's just such a powerful friendship that they have between all of them. And even in those first like 30 seconds when they're introducing them, you get so much out of it. Like, you know these characters before you even watch the movie. And that's something that's really special.
And then, like, I was texting you before, when it comes to the Archie franchise, This is one of the few iterations not animated that worked. So When you look back on the Archie franchise, we have the comic books that they all originated from. Then we get the cartoons. They had records. And then we enter the Hanna-Barbera cartoon era where we have the cartoon Josie and the Pussycats, which was successful. It was successful enough that they go to fucking space.
Of course. That's where we're going to go next year.
We ain't going to space. We could barely get around in our own fucking country. You think we have the money to go to space?
We're going to say we're in space.
Okay, true. Now, when we get to the live action, so we had Sabrina the Teenage Witch, which, again, as we've always discussed, was successful because of the ants, the acting of the ants. But other than that, the show, you know, it was
in Salem.
It was a basic dud. It was, for the time, it was okay, but, you know, doesn't hold up as you watch it. And then we get Josie and the Pussycats, which did hold up, was a good movie, but critically panned. And then you fast forward, we get Riverdale, which the first season, if you take it as this is an edgy version of the Archie franchise, could have been successful, but then the show fucking went off the rails.
Vampires, people being resurrected.
But that's the thing. Yes. So if they're following the Archie Afterlife plot line, that would make sense. But I don't think they describe that.
So the reason this movie, so Archie Comics did not want to soil their brand with a raunchy movie. So they were putting in a lot of notes and they were like, they toned down the movie a lot, but you still get, even if it's toned down, even like, so for a while, this movie is only PG-13. They edited it down to like a PG or a G cut. And that was the only DVD you can get of this. Like, you could not get the PG-13 movie. And I got to tell you, I watched the PG or the G-rated version, and it's terrible.
Naturally.
Yeah. So Archie Comics told them there has to be a scene where they brush their teeth because it's wholesome.
That is fucking stupid.
Yeah, now Archie and Jughead are double teaming Betty, and they're like, cool.
Cool. And then with the chilling tales of Sabrina, like, I liked, maybe I'm going to watch it. I don't know. Cause like that first episode didn't sell me, but I
could not get through it.
I love the heavy Satanism themes. Like, cool. Like, you do you. But again, so realistically, in our opinion, everyone else has different opinions, which is fine. But Josie and the Pussycats is the only live action thing from the Archie franchise that was successful.
That's right.
If you want to fight us on it, DM us. We always are happy to debate that. And then
ready to fight you bitches.
Yeah. And then everyone who complained that, you know, in the Riverdale, Josie and the Pussycats were black, shut up.
Yeah, who cares?
Let him be black. Who gives a shit?
Yeah. You know what, guys? Stop fucking complaining about anything. And you know what? Let's start working towards you know, bringing justice back into this world. Like, everybody's like, ooh, ooh, a female action movie. Yeah, guess what? They've been making fucking female action movies since the 70s. Have you seen Alien?
Fucking have you seen Foxy Brown? Like,
yeah.
Here's, that's the problem now. It's like, we have and had female action movies. We've had representation that people complain about now. We've had that in back in the day. It's just the fact is no one wants to see it now because it's being forced. And then when you talk about the all these movies back in the day, it's like, oh no, they weren't good. They were still in a misogynistic light. Like, no, they weren't. What? Okay, yeah. So Pam Grier shows her titties in Foxy Brown. Did you forget the rest of Foxy Brown, what she's doing?
Yeah. Pam Grier literally ran 70s cinema. Like,
gosh, she did. Oof, at 70s action cinema.
Jackie Brown, and that movie is fucking magnifique. Mwah.
Fucking Coffee, Friday Foster. All of her movies from her like hit her renaissance. Like, yes. Like, oh, and even the Andy Sedaris action movies where the women are, yeah, okay, the women are topless in it. Okay, but they're also kicking ass and taking care of business. So, like,
what about Heathers? Great. Female-led action movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You consider Heathers an action movie?
Sure is. They kill fucking people every left and right.
Oh, the new Charlie's Angels movies, not the one Elizabeth Banks did. The fucking the OG ones, the 2000 ones.
There's not two people in this world that love Charlie's Angels and Full Throttle as much as you and I do. So,
because we understand how good of movies they are.
And we've been trying to get best friend of the show, Tiffany, to fucking come on for the last year to talk about Charlie's Angels and talk about how she hates Charlie's Angels too.
And yeah, but she just doesn't have, like I said, her computer is so bad.
Yeah.
And I can't expect her to figure out how to use the phone.
Don't worry. Look, we'll figure a way.
She's smart, but she's not, let's do a Zoom on the phone smart.
We'll figure a way one day. Don't worry.
I'll beat her up. It's fine.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, you'll beat her up like you beat up everybody else this weekend. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Shut up. Shut your mouth.
So this movie starts off with Du Jour. It doesn't even start off with Josie and the Pussycats. It starts off with Du Jour, which is a Pitch Perfect, Backstreet Boys, NSYNC parody with Seth Green.
Okay, so I wrote in my notes, I could not enjoy him because ever since back in 2020 when I got lost in the Epstein conspiracy theories, found out that he was on his flight log, and then that one actor who was murdered but apparently died talked about how fucking Seth Green is a pedophile, and I'm like, okay, so now my image of him is ruined. So I know I fell for it, and I know I'm stupid, but
no, we were watching Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Now that you've told me this, I'm like, well, we already hate Seth Green because of fucking Robot Chicken. Get it? We making jokes about Star Wars? We got it. Yeah, fuck him.
Yeah, but no, but at least we got, like, you know, Breckin Meyer, Donald Faison.
Breckin Meyer.
And then another person.
Donald Faison. And yeah, and that other guy that I'm like, okay. Breckin Meyer used to drive me insane.
He is great. He is. Yeah. He's not so hot and Clueless, but other than that, he's great.
He's so hot. He was hot in Franklin and Bash, starring Mark Paul Gosselaar, who wouldn't show up to the fucking convention. And you know what? He fucked them over so bad. Like, he was the main image on the posters that we saw when we went in there. So they had to put like a sticker on his face.
Which, it's crazy that he was billed like the best celebrity. I'm like, but everyone else that was there, like, you know, Pete and Pete were there. The Mighty Ducks were there. Mackenzie Phillips, Heather Maserato, like Tracy Gold, like everyone we saw, everyone we mentioned, like that convention had so many top class people that, like, why would you book Mark Paul Gosselaar as the top biller? He's not the top biller. Like,
no,
he didn't have the success that like Tara Reid had. Tara Reid has, you know, commercial movie success.
Yeah. She had her own fucking show on E.
Yeah. She traveled the world. What did you do, Mark Paul Gosselaar? You did Saved by the Bell. Then you did Saved by the Bell in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. And then you did a string of movies that, like, no one can remember. All I remember is Dead Men on Campus. And I think that was a good movie. I don't remember.
It wasn't. And the only reason we wanted you there so we could grab your dick. That's it.
Yeah, that's it. We wanted to sexually harass you and weren't there. So good job on being a pretentious dick.
Yeah, fuck you.
Because I really don't think you had anything going on that you couldn't attend this humble convention.
You bold-faced lied to
them. Meredith from The Office was there. The Office is still a big success. And you know what? And she's a top biller.
Yeah.
And yet you couldn't be there, Mark Paul?
Fuck you.
They should have asked Tiffany Amber Thiessen to be there. Because let's face it, when it comes to Saved by the Bell, it was Tiffany Amber Thiessen. It wasn't Mark Paul Gosselaar.
I was mad because Lark Voorhees was doing a convention in fucking California. I was like, chick, you should have been there. Do you understand how crazy I would have been if fucking Lisa Turtle was there?
Right?
My head would have exploded.
That's a Saved by the Bell cast member also. Like, there's so many other people. Actually, the girls. The girls on the show would have been better guests than Mark Paul Gosselaar.
Yeah. Fuck you, Mark Paul. I'll still grab your dick, but fuck you.
Yeah, you'll do it out of anger now.
I will, and it will, I'll grab the balls. So you'll feel it, bitch. Yeah, so we get the juror, and they're singing Backdoor Lover, which is hysterical because...
That was great that I caught that now. I didn't realize that when I was younger, but I'm like, oh, that's a fun song for this movie.
And then they have all these girls and baby faglets wanting to touch them and screaming because they're talking about anal. Then get Alan Cumming as their manager, whose name is Wyatt, but we'll be calling him Alan Cumming.
Yeah, naturally.
Yeah. And they're all bitching and moaning about, you know, being on magazines and Coke cans and who stole whose quote. And then they get suspicious about the music having messages in it. And what does he do, David?
So I love this. He goes to the cockpit and then he says, oh, we're doing a code Chevy to the levee. And I'm like, that's genius. That is such
I had the notes down.
Yeah, that's a reference teens won't get. But the parents who got dragged to watch this movie, they were like, that's a fucked up reference, which... In case y'all don't know, the Chevy from the levee is a Buddy Holly song. Wait, it was Buddy Holly, right?
No, it was American Pie.
Who sang American Pie?
Hold on.
It's
about Buddy Holly, Richie Valens, and someone else.
Other people who are on that damn plane that fucking died in a plane crash. So Alan Cumming's in the pilot.
John McLean. Yeah.
John McLean? I don't know who that is.
Well, he sang this song.
Wasn't Big Papa on that plane too? The Big Bopper. He was on that plane too, right?
Yeah, hold on. American Pie lyrics. So
I'm realizing American Pie is about the plane crash, not the person who sang the song on the plane.
No, it's about the plane crash. Oh. Yeah. One day we'll be, ready for
No, we won't
finish the story.
Yeah. No, we won't. But yeah, no. So that was a fun reference. And so DuJour gets in the plane crash, and then Alan Cumming is now trapped in Riverdale.
Yes.
And then the credits start. And then what are we greeted to?
We are greeted to one of the greatest songs of the 2000s, and possibly of all time.
Yes.
Three Small Words, and I got to tell you. I remember, I think Kristen called me a faggot because I bought the soundtrack and I was like, it fucking slaps.
Which sucks. Honestly, it's the only good song in the soundtrack.
Really?
That's the only song I love. Every other song sounds like hokey and shitty, but like that song is like the perfect song.
It is the perfect song. And they do. And as I was saying before, they give them about like 30 to 40 seconds each. And they say, Josie. And you see Josie work in a record store. She's also working in a diner. And she has Herbal Essence hair. then you see Val, who is a sports girl who sells shoes. And she does a lot for like charity. And then you get Melody, who's the funny one. And she's holding up a sign that says, honk if you love hugs. She's a vegetarian. And the last sign says what, David?
honk if you love pussy, but then if you move forward, it's pussy cats, and she causes an accident and runs away.
Because she's the best. We also get Alexander and Alexandria, who are both amazing, and you get Alan M., who is the worst character in any movie.
So he was fine here, but the cartoon version of him is hotter.
Oh, yeah. This guy sucked.
That's why he wasn't in anything.
Yeah.
But you fucking Alan Missy M. Pyle. Missy Pyle. Into the pit. Missy Pyle is like, she's a great actress, but
she is.
Doesn't, like, she's in so many things, but doesn't get the true success that she deserves.
She's another Parker Posey.
Instead she fucking gets run over by Octavia Spencer.
I mean, you know what? Who wouldn't want to be run over by Octavia Spencer?
And then I remember when the Charlie and the Chalk Factory came out, people jokingly complained that there was Violet's mom instead of the dad. I'm like, okay, but it's Missy Pyle.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that's fine. Like, it's Missy Pyle. Have you ever seen
Gone Girl? Because she's great in that. And it's a dramatic performance.
I've never seen Gone Girl. I make jokes about it, but I've never seen it.
Yeah. Missy Pyle is just great. She's perfection in Galaxy Quest, one of the best movies to ever deal with, like, nerds. She's amazing in this movie. Because she gets so many jabs in and they always take her down. So I'm like, but you know what? She's perfect. Alexandria was my favorite character in the cartoon because I'm a faggot.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So Three Small Words looks like a full blown music video, but when they finish the song, they're playing in a bowling alley.
You know, they were humbled.
Yeah. So, some bitches come by, and did you notice who one of them were?
No, who?
Ginger Snaps.
Ugh.
I know you hate that movie.
Yeah, so that's why I didn't know who it was, because I really did not give a shit about that movie.
Yeah. So they come and make fun of them, and it's all good because you know what? They'll be sucking their asses in like 20 minutes. So fuck you, bitches.
You know, and then like, you know, it's cute. You could see it's also all the actresses had good chemistry because you could see like they were friends.
Yeah.
Even if they weren't in real life, they all played really well that they
were. But they played good friends, David. Like they were.
It was realistic. It was a realistic of like true friendship.
Just like Charlie's Angels. Those two movies, like, you know, they had a great time on the set because they're still friends now. But like, it's just a genuine friendship you can see in that movie. And you could see in this movie. I don't know if they ever talked to each other after this movie, but whatever they did, that's Academy Award performances that like they acted like they were just so cool with each other. As I was saying, like the rah-rah girl power, they were just so well put together. It was such a well-cast movie.
It was a natural flow. It wasn't in your face, nauseating female friendship. It was like, oh, it's a casual, this is real women doing real woman shit.
Yeah. They're just living their lives. They're all doing themselves. They're taking care of themselves. They live in a nice shack or something like that. Then Alan M. shows up and I'm like, oh, this movie stops dead. He's like, could you fix my car for me? And Josie's like, sure, because I'm mad horny for your boring ass.
Because all he wears is sandals.
Yeah, ugh, gross. he's got to have like fucking plantar warts on his feet and like black soles.
Like us. We have black soles.
No, we have black soles as in the thing inside of our bodies.
That's what I meant.
Disgusting, dirty feet.
Yes, that's what I meant.
Yeah, I know. Basically, Alexandria and Alex come in and they're talking about how they're the managers and they want to help them out. And then he's like, oh, yeah, you know, they were like, well, how come you didn't do anything to support us last night? And he's like, oh, we were buying du jour tickets. She says it. And then he kicks her in the vagina.
As one does.
Yeah.
I know I would. Just because.
I knew you would. But even the guy who's playing Alexander, he's in a couple of other things. First of all, I find him fucking hot as hell.
Oh, yeah. No, he's totally hot. But he's one of those actors where it's like, you've been in so many things in the 2000s, but I do not know your name.
No.
And I never will.
Who cares? I'll just fap to your naked performance at the end.
Barely.
barely. But they have good comic timing with each other. And I'm telling you, as I said, this movie was perfectly cast. I mean, Rachel Lee Cook, but you know, whatever.
Leave her alone.
So there's a story on MTV News that DuJour is dead.
Do you remember MTV News? Do you remember what MTV actually was? Like, even if they didn't show music videos, it was still music related.
Yeah.
Man, I miss MTV News. Like Kurt Loder and what's her face that was on this movie? Blondum.
Serena Elshel.
Yeah. Good times.
Yeah.
But it's weird because like she was in this. Like they couldn't get Kurt Loder for Josie and the Pussycats, but they can get him for Sugar and Spice.
Well, I think they wanted a female news anchor for this movie because this is all about female empowerment. So,
and what, Kurt Loder doesn't give off female empowerment?
No, he does not.
Well, in my eyes, he does. Kurt Loder is girl power.
Okay. You know, rah-rah, sis Goomba.
So Kurt Loder is the pioneer of feminism.
Shut the fuck up. So Alan Cumming brings a song into HMV, which made me cry because I missed those gigantic record stores in the city.
God, right. In general, stores like that, the mega, like Tower Records, Virgin Records, like all the stores that just like had everything. They had tons of CDs, tons of movies.
Everything.
Listen, they had... It was a nice one-stop shop because that's the thing we reminisce about back in the day is like actually going to a store and just seeing things.
Well, that's like that's why we had so much fun this weekend because it was like, you know, after the last 2 years of barely having any fun with anybody, we had such a blast of a weekend just being stupid and enjoying each other's company. And watch, and you and Kathy watch like the Great British Bake Off or something like that.
No,
and you
guys so
kept yelling at it.
Her, no, we watched something on PBS. We were watching, she was watching a cooking show on PBS, and she was just upset the whole time with these bitches, and it was hilarious.
Yeah. But it's that's what I miss so much. That's why I do still buy Blu-rays because I love physical media. I remember being like a teenager and going into like Coconuts or something like that, or Virgin Megastore, and just being overwhelmed. Tower Records in right off of Astor Place, it was the original Tower Records. And I just remember going in there and being like, wow, I can get any CD I want. I mean, I'm going to have to pay a lot of money, but I can find anything I ever wanted, like B-sides, like unreleased discs in the United States. You can get anything. And it was just like so great. And I miss that so much that everything is now just buy on Amazon, buy on iTunes. You don't get that community. I remember going there with my friends growing up and just like enjoying that they had DJs in the booth. As you said, you can listen to literally every CD that was out at that time. And just having experiences with people that like the same music as you. You know what I mean?
It was just, it, that's the thing. We don't have experiences anymore. Like we said before, like watching Grindhouse, like going to see Grindhouse was an experience.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking going, like going shopping was an experience. And we just don't have things like that anymore because everything is just digital.
Yeah.
And it's a shame, but what can you do, right?
No. So he's like, hey, DJ, play this. It's the new DuJour mix. You know, they died. So, you know, you're the first one to listen to it.
And then, you know, and then everyone's changing. Like the girls were like, you know, orange was the color, right?
Yeah.
It's like, or what? No. So that's when you see like all the people are falling for the things. It's like, oh, we don't like this anymore. We like this thing. And then like the one guy's like, I want to buy a Zima. And yeah. His friend's like, you don't drink. He's like, I'm going to start. I'm like, that's funny and fucked up at the same time.
Yes, it's just how they market. Like, you know.
And frosted tips. I hate that that's coming back, kind of.
No.
That's a hairstyle I hate seeing in these movies. And it's coming back. I'm like, don't. Just do not bring things back, please.
Yeah, so The only person who's not impressed is a goth chick, and then he has her kidnapped.
Yes, which I don't know why it was necessary to kidnap.
They were brainwashing.
Her.
I guess people that didn't fall for them, they were like super brainwashing them, because you see the goth chick later on in the room where they have the pussycat headbands on with the 3D sound or whatever it is. And they're all just like walking into each other. But who cares? After this, we get the first sounds of Parker Posey. And I didn't even need a blue chew to get that hard.
Yeah. Because it's the PP. It's the Parker big Posey. P. Fucking big pussy Posey.
Pussy Posey. Yeah. So she's like, you need to find a band. I need to get this launched as soon as possible. And Alan Cumming is driving, and the pussycats are all thrown. They were like performing outside. And
so the guy that was working in the Steve Madden, was he the same guy in 13 Ghosts that got like split in half by the door?
Possibly.
I feel like that was the same guy.
Yeah.
Because he was annoying.
Let's just say he was. Yeah.
Yes. So far.
Annoying in both movies.
But Steve Madden, is that still a thing?
I don't think so. God.
But yeah, it was the perfect, because he's driving and he puts a blank CD case up to it, and it's like they are the number one band, because they are the best band in the world in this cinematic universe.
Oh my God. It is like the way they set it up is just so, like, once again, guys, if you disagree with this, you know, we don't like you. It's just so well done. Like, how he pulls up the CD and they're walking into the frame as he almost hits them with the car. And right behind them is that sign that they're taking down from du jour as number one band in the world. It's just a perfect moment.
It sets up. It really sets up the stardom, the quick stardom of, well, they were called the Pussycats, and then Alan Cumming pulls some shit.
Mm-hmm. So it's funny though, because the next they're signing the deal, and everyone's like, "Is this weird?" And they're like, "No, we're making money. Good for you guys." And Alexandra sits on Alan Cumming's lap and sits right next to him, and she's like, "Oh, fancy a snog?" And he's like, "Fancy a breath mint?" And I'm like, "Oh,
the poor Misty."
Yeah. So the best thing about this movie is the shameless promotion. Every time they go somewhere, it's like Motorola ads, and it's covered with it's like Tide boxes. It's
fucking everything was was like an ad. It was hilarious and frightening how much, like, see, this is where the budget, this is where they got their money, because they got sponsorships from all of these brands, even though the brands didn't realize that they were being made fun of. So,
oh, totally. Then we get one of the best parts of the movie, where Alexandra are sitting while they're talking about, like, you know, becoming famous and everything like that. And he's like, "Why are you even here?" And she's like, "Because I was in the comic."
And he's like, "What?"
He's like, "What?" And she's like, "Nothing."
That's the thing I kind of wish Riverdale, I wish in the Riverdale show with the Josie and the Pussycats like storyline, I kind of wish they explored the, you know, the secondary characters from the show.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand there's just so much Riverdale can do, you know, being a murder mystery and just fucking nonsense. So,
and space aliens and werewolves and stupidity.
Did the second season really get that way?
I think by I stopped the third after season. Well, I think I stopped in this after season, first. I think either in the end of this season or the beginning of next season, Sabrina is going to cross over to bring Archie and Jughead back to life. So I have no fucking idea what's going on.
Stupid.
So now they've signed their contracts. And as you were saying before, Alan Cumming is kind of pushing Josie.
Yes, which, you know, it's nefarious. He's because he's British. So, you know, the British be doing nefarious shit. And I'm allowed to say that because I'm Scottish. So even though it's technically not British, it's still part of the European countries continent. So shut up.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm allowed.
So Val is upset because he's kind of sidelining them, and then he leaves her. They drive off the limo without fucking Rosario Dawson. Like, that's messed up.
I'm happy we skipped over the stupid fucking makeover montage.
Oh, who cares about that? Yeah.
Right? Because I hate montages. I'm learning as you make me, as well, you don't make me watch this, but like other stuff that we just watch, I'm starting to hate montages.
The only time there was the best montage of all time was The Sweetest Thing.
I was just going to say, thank you. Because me and Tiffany all the time, she's like, do we have time for a movie montage? And like, we always have time for a movie montage. Yeah. And I'm glad you said that, because The Sweetest Thing, their montage is the only montage that ever matters.
I love that movie so much.
Right. That is. And yet Carlene had the nerve to talk shit about Cameron Diaz returning to the screen.
Yeah, Carlene. Don't worry.
But you have to. Coming up. But when Carlene writes shit, it's so beautiful and cryptic. She has the most amazing way of writing things, and I'm glad that she's pursuing more things. And I really hope at some point in her life, she gets like a book deal or something. Because
I hope so too.
Because I've been, she back in college, she used to write, like she would, after college, actually, she would send me letters, like postcards. And just, I still have all of them, everything she's ever sent me. And just, they are the most beautiful, insane ramblings possible. And
well, her website is amazing too.
Right. Like everything that just, she is like the words. Like, so when our movie company kicks off, she's writing screenplays because.
Oh yeah, definitely.
She can write. She is the page master.
Yeah. I'm going to have her ghostwrite my second novel so I don't have to do any work and just pay her.
Right. That's all I got to do. And I'm going to have her not ghostwrite my novels because I want my novels, my sexy murder mystery novels, to sound fucking insane.
Yeah, well.
And incoherent.
Either of you writing it will sound insane. So there you go. Yeah, everybody knows. The second that my book gets signed, I am buying A24. And I am buying a book publishing company, and Carlene will get whatever she wants.
Yes, anything she wants.
She is our mahogany mother.
She's the attractive mother Suspiria.
Wait, no.
She's not a puddle.
Dakota Fanning is an attractive mother Suspiria.
Yeah, I gotta rewatch that movie. I got it on TV. I gotta rewatch it. I gotta watch so much shit.
I told you one day Adam came home and I was just like casually watching Suspiria, and he's like, what are you watching? Because that was when everybody's head was exploding. And I was like, just something to keep me busy until you came home. And he's like, I come home and you're either singing in Spanish or you're watching somebody's head get exploded. And I'm like, you got a problem with that?
He truly lives the life with you.
I know, right? I mean, he's got it so good.
He does. That's why I didn't want to like hurt him, because he has to deal with you.
And I was shut up. And I was telling him, like, everybody who knows him, like, or our viewership, they are always like, oh, he's so hot. He's like a model. And I was telling him that, and he got like so embarrassed. I'm like, what? You're hot. Fucking
yeah, deal. He should know that.
I tell him that like literally 17 times a day. I'm like, that's wow, you. I don't deserve this.
You're married to him. You can say that.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't deserve you. he is the skinny wife to a fat guy. There you go. I'm Kevin James. You got me, David.
Beat me to it. And that's not fair. God damn you.
So. Now we get the greatest jerking character in the movie, and it's Parker Posey as Fiona.
Yes, so one of the best comedic villains in a movie.
She is so amazingly over the top, and her outfits match her personality perfectly.
God, her fucking... I love that, like, the whole spiel of, she's like, you know they go like, why is the government involved in a music company? And then she says her plan, and it's hilarious, because I remember when it came out, when I watched it with my sister was a big Spice Girls fan. So as they're explaining, like, the one part, she's like, well, the Chinese guy gets it. And I'm like, okay, it's not racist because the guy's actually Chinese.
Yeah. So.
But then she's explaining this really in-depth plot of, like, you know, no, I'm sorry, Eugene Levy was explaining in the video.
Yes.
Which, it's honestly, this is exactly what, and this is what the government does. This is what the government and the CIA have been doing for years.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And yet we have it in a movie and it's still panned. Like, you don't realize, like, this is the perfect movie because it's literally explaining,
David,
what the government has been doing trying, for years.
They suffocate you. Just, this is bigger than any Disney conspiracy we've ever had, because this is not a Disney conspiracy, but you just explained the reason this movie failed.
Yeah, but, well, because you had the mainstream critics. Yeah. It was like the mainstream critics who are sponsored by, like, the government media. Like, that's why it failed. But, you know, luckily now there's a new audience. Well, there's an old audience who realizes just how good this movie truly is.
The best thing about this movie is they do breaking the fourth wall so well. Like, with the Missy Pyle scene before, and then you have Parker Posey explaining the whole plan, Eugene Levy going over it, and then she talks about, they'll never know, especially you. And then he's like, what?
Yeah.
She's like, what did you say? She's like, nothing. And he was like, we're like a foot away from you. Guys, if you've never seen this movie, you're in for a treat.
Because, you know what? It's a good reminiscent of 2000s culture. Like, the boy band craze, TRL, like, just what we lived through, like, as we were aware of, you know, we were a decent age living through it, but it's still fun nostalgia.
Yeah.
Because it's the movie is over the top. That's the thing. It's a fun over the top movie.
Yeah. And that's why it's so much fun, because it is insanely over the top. And there's so many winks. It's like, yeah, Parker Posey, once again, we can't talk more about Parker Posey because, you know, she is just so great in this movie. She is hysterical. And as I said 1,000 times, her line reads are astoundingly hysterical. So at this point, they basically show you the auto-tune machine of 2001. And it's the subliminal machine. They say it's to help them make them sound better, which is auto-tune. And they sing Pretend to Be Nice, which I like that song a lot. I know you don't like any other songs from this album. And they start blowing up. So everybody is famous. Now these Riverdale hoes are screaming that they love them. And I said, one is Ginger Snaps, and you hate Ginger Snaps.
Yes. And so you can't change my mind.
I don't like that movie at all. And I love werewolf movies.
You would.
Shut up. You never seen The Howling, one of the greatest movies of all time.
Because I need to, thank you for reminding me, because I need to finish that collection.
Yeah.
I think I only have Howling 1, 2, and 5, I think. I don't know. Sybil Danning is in one of them. I know I need to see that because I love Sybil.
Wallace is in the first one.
Of course. And when I go to the VHS festival, I'm not going to go blindly like the last 2 years I did. I'm going with a compiled list of, like, the main ones. So, like, I know I need to finish the Puppet Master series, the Leprechaun series, and now you reminded me, the Howling series. So thank you. Yeah. Oh, and I think Ghoulies. I think I need to finish fucking Ghoulies.
Everyone loves Ghoulies. They become super famous, like, really quick, and
a week to be exact.
Yeah. And the other, Val and Melody, are kind of like feeling overshadowed by Josie because they keep pushing her, and they change the title from the Pussycats to Josie and the Pussycats. So Fiona then shows up and says her big plan is they're going to have a big concert where everyone's going to get 3D headphones and all the messages are going to be read by Mr. Movie Phone, which, another thing.
Remember Movie Phone? Remember when you had to call a hotline to see what fucking movies were playing?
Had to look at the newspaper.
I don't miss that whatsoever. Then again, I don't go to movies anymore. So
there are certain things that I don't miss, and calling to find out movie times and then having to go pick up tickets. You know, there are some simple pleasures in purchasing a movie ticket and your seat so you don't have to get stand in line for 6 hours to see a movie that's coming out.
Yeah. No, yeah.
Yeah. So this is when Fiona says she'll never know what hit them, especially you. And that's when they're like, we can hear you. And she's like, And then she like seduces him and he goes to touch a feather and she smacks him. And I'm like, I fucking love you so much.
That alpha was so obnoxious.
Yeah.
It was perfect, but it was obnoxious.
Then we get Val watching a behind the music of the Captain and Tennille and the Chief, and then how the Chief was kicked out of the band.
Now he's a janitor. Again, Captain and Tennille, that's such a weird reference for a teen movie.
Oh my God, Captain and Tennille, I love them. We met them in Disney World in 1989.
You feel good about that?
Oh my God. My feel good about heart almost flew out of my chest.
Bragging about Captain and Tennille. Who fucking loves Captain and Tennille?
This faggot.
You never cease to surprise me.
I know. I'm like a riddle wrapped in an enigma wrapped in Captain and Tennille.
Shut up.
So then we get Tara Reid showering. And when she comes out, there's I Know What You Did Last Summer lipstick on her mirror telling her to watch out. And what does she do, David?
She decorates it with hearts and smiley faces.
Because she is perfect.
And she's in a McDonald's bathroom because they established that she's a vegetarian and yet yes. They fucking put her in a McDonald's bathroom.
I gotta tell you, I wish they would have produced those McDonald's Happy Meal sponges because I would wash my ass with McDonald's fries every day.
Yo, if fucking I would always have... I would shower like twice a day. I shower every day, but like I would shower maybe twice to three times a day if it was a fucking McDonald's fried loofah.
You know, make it even better if it was one of Troll Pond's Birdie sponge with her tits out.
I cannot wait until we have him on so I can praise him for the fucking God's work that he does with yes. his art. I swear to God, everything that man yes. does is just fucking perfect, and I support him.
I can't stop laughing every day. One of the greatest Instagram accounts to follow. It's Troll, as in Troll 2, one of the best movies of all time. Pond, as in tampon. So, guys, go follow him. We're gonna post his name in the show notes.
Oh, and then another artist is Peter.
Oh, Peter, yeah. Peter
Simcoe, I think.
Sapote? Well, I don't know. He's gonna be on the show within the next couple of weeks. So we'll have him explain his Canadian name.
And his beautiful art.
Oh, his art is amazing.
A fucking 11 painting he made. Oh my God.
Yeah. I told him the other day, I was just like, I am astounded as an artist by somebody who is generally a really nice person, but makes some of the most gorgeous art. And he does it like he does paintings and stuff like that. I can't paint for shit. I do everything on pencil or I use my iPad. So amazing. And he's coming on to do Neon Demon. So I can't wait for
perfect
that episode.
Movie for him.
Yeah. So you'll be hearing when we have viewer's choice coming up soon. You'll be hearing them. You'll also be hearing Karen next week when we're doing Michelle Yeoh and the Multiverse of Madness. So it's going to be fun the next couple of months. And we have something surprisingly set up for November, or may I say Nickvember, where we do all Nicolas Cage movies.
Yes. I'm ready for that.
Yeah, we're going to do the movie where he plays himself. So we're excited about that.
We're doing Mandy.
Of course. And we're going to get Kristen on the Mandy episode because we're going to watch that shit.
I would like another excuse to rewatch Color Out of Space. So.
Oh, yeah.
And
I'm down.
We'll
figure it all out.
Yeah, we're gonna have to like really figure out because that man has a lengthy career. So amazing. We definitely got to, like, you know, figure it out.
Yeah. So,
literally, guys, this is what we do. When we text, we literally just, like, randomly plan shit. Like, the other day, I'm like, well, let's do an A24 month. And then you dickishly were like, we do it every month. I'm like, no, like, we actually devote, like, certain things.
We got to wait until at least August for that, because that's when Men is coming out. And it's, like, $20 to pre-order it now. And I'm like, No, thanks.
All right, yeah,
I'll just buy the Blu-ray when it comes out. And if it sucks, I'll send it back to Amazon and keep the digital comb. There you go.
Yeah. And you got it all planned. And then, wait, Spring Breakers is an A24, right?
I don't think so.
It might be. Oh, we'll get double check. Look, when that month maybe comes, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll figure that out. We still have to do David Lynch month. We've been saying we're doing that for a year now. So,
look, y'all get what you get. You know what? You get surprises. Fucking, yeah. You know, we're chaos. Like, you know, we are the type of people that just randomly go off antidepressants and then start Adderall without doctor's consent, and then this vibe. Yeah.
Yeah. You're living the dream, baby girl.
I don't see what I'm doing. I don't suggest to anyone, like, at all. Just please.
Yeah, seriously, we're not fucking doctors. Why would you listen to our advice anyway?
Well, according to Adam, I'm a nutritionist. Or I was, so.
Not anymore.
No,
now I work in a dealership.
Yeah. At this point, I just want to be a sex worker. I don't want to do shit anymore. Even that, yeah. I just don't want to do anything. I just want to, like, just.
Well, you are the brutal master, but.
Oh, shut up.
That's a private joke, so you guys don't worry about it.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
We love you, but mind your business.
Yeah, David is just gonna become a sex worker, and he's got his hot ass beard and his sexy hoodie, and he is going to stomp on people's faces.
Yes, my sexy hoodie that I'm fucking sweating in because it's so big.
I'm just like, I don't give a shit. I'll be in a tank top and short shorts. I don't care. Fucking respect me, respect my body. I don't give a shit. I got over that point. I don't care. I'm hot. I'm going to be as naked as possible.
Yeah, that's you. You
body got positivity, motherfuckers.
Yes. Well, no, for you. Yes. Not for me. I hate my body.
You'll get okay. There. Don't worry. When I was your age, I hated my body. And then you get to the point where you just stop giving a fuck.
My body's already decomposing, so we're fine.
Oh, shut the fuck up. You are one of the most magical human beings in the world. Everybody that knows you loves you.
Because everyone that loves me has a terrible judging character.
Yeah, shut the fuck up. So Fiona comes down dramatically to to the joke. I think it's pretend to be nice, but it's like orchestra. And then she's like, girls, come to my room so we can gossip. And she grabs a Pringle. She's like, oh, I'm such a pig.
I fucking love Pringles.
Yeah, I know. I think you spent $42 on a can of Pringles in Atlantic City.
It was casino Pringles. It was hotel Pringles.
I gotta tell you, the prices were all over the place in that place. Because I remember I bought Excedrin because we were drinking, and I was like, we are all over the age of 22 and we'll probably either need Advil or Excedrin tomorrow morning, and we thought we forgot deodorant. David, I told you we found the deodorant, like, when we were unpacking, right?
You found deodorant?
I had deodorant. I packed deodorant, and I spent like $12 on a bar of deodorant there. But then when we got beers from there, the beers were like $6, and they were like tall boys. I mean, they were like, so that wasn't like crazy, crazy expensive on certain things. But then, like, your gelato, too. It was like literally a cartoon gelato, and you paid $8 for it.
But they also had that fancy, like, canned alcohol, that clear water or something.
You like that. You got that.
Oh, my God. I love that. Their website. They have so much on their website that, like, I don't know where they sell it. Maybe beer distributors. But, yeah, I'm just going to. You know, maybe I'll be an alcoholic and just ruin my life completely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
you don't have bills when you're an alcoholic. You're just vomiting and enjoying life in your apartment. And then you're dead in your apartment. Like that one Nicolas Cage movie, Leaving Las Vegas.
oh my God, where Elizabeth Shue gets raped and then she bleeds out of her ass in the shower.
Did not know. Okay, I have to rewatch that. I just remember Nicolas Cage yelling at Laurie Metcalf.
Yeah.
That's all I remember about that movie. I don't remember her Elizabeth Shue bleeding out of her ass.
Well, she gets raped by two frat guys and then she's like bleeding out of her ass in the shower. And I was like, I gotta stop watching this movie. I don't like blood coming out of like butts.
Butts. Blood butts.
Blood butts. A blood cum. I'm like, come on, Willem Dafoe, keep shooting it out.
But blood ass. It's like, no, thank you.
No, thank you. Because I just think of like, ugh, how much preparation H she's going to have to use and how preparation H isn't as strong as it used to be because it doesn't have the ingredients that it used to be. And I felt really bad for her because she was a prostitute and her and Nicolas Cage wanted to die together. And okay.
That's a beautiful movie.
Yeah.
Besides the blood, ass blood, that is like a kind of a sweet plot.
And a woman getting raped by two guys. Okay.
Yeah. Again, I said, besides that, it's still a decent movie.
Yeah. So, after they leave the room, Alan Cumming and Parker Posey have like a villain laugh off, and it's fucking amazing.
Everything about this movie was amazing.
Yeah. So then Josie and Alan Snooze go to the aquarium. Ugh. And you see a beluga whale swimming in front of an Evian ad. And I was like, are they saying that's the Coney Island Aquarium? Because the Coney Island, if they're in New York, they're going to the Coney Island Aquarium. There's no other real ones. And I'm like, the Coney Island Aquarium is like 6 feet long.
They were in, it looked like it was the New York, but you know, you know the movies. They will put all, like, you remember Babe, Pig in the City? Like, all, it was a big city that had several landmarks, but it wasn't, it was an undisclosed city because, you know, Babe was in the big city.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I really forgot that movie, too.
Yeah. It's good reminiscing with you. So they're like, hey, Val and Melody, you're going to be on TRL, Total Request Live. And she's like, but Josie's not going to be in it. And he's like, no, Josie has to work on songs tonight. So it's just going to be you guys. And you guys wanted the spotlight. So they're excited about it. And then Alan Cumming gives Josie a CD to listen to and tells her that Alan Snooze's boring ass fucking podunk concert is canceled. And he gaslights her. But you know what? It's for your best interest, Josie. Alan M sucks.
Yeah. But at least Missy Pyle got to go to it.
Yeah.
So whatever.
So the TRL is a fake out. And what happens, David?
You're greeted by Ari Spears,
which is great,
from Mad TV.
His Shaquille O'Neal impersonation is fucking the bomb.
Or this is it was fun seeing Ari Spears because like Mad TV is superior.
Oh, 100%.
Not sounding pretentious, but Mad TV has always been superior to Saturday Night Live.
Their impressions were great because Saturday Night Live tries too hard to be an impersonation of things. And they were just like, do whatever the hell you want. Just get the character down. And his Shaq, with his one eye always looking to the side. Perfection.
Yeah, he was a top notch. And it sucks that his career went nowhere. Like he
Deborah
just
Deborah Wilson too. Oh my God.
No, Deborah Wilson had a modest career. So like she had a music career. She was doing voiceovers.
Yeah.
I remember watching her in one episode of Law and Order SVU where she was a prostitute, but you know, like that's the thing. Everyone from Mad TV had good, modest careers. Like Alex Borstein is now like successful with her Maisel show, which good for her.
Yeah. And she was also in one of the worst movies of all time, Catwoman, as Horny Friend.
I'm never gonna see that. So
you will.
I will not. You will not make me.
No, you know, maybe. So Ari Spears as Carson Daly and Carson Daly as Carson Daly say they're gonna kill them.
Which it was then these scenes were funny because at the time Carson Daly was dating Tara Reid.
Yes.
So it was a fun little nod because like they're fighting and they're like, oh, you're so cute. It's a shame I have to kill you. And I definitely feel like behind closed doors, they did want to beat each other with bats because Carson Daly, I feel like, is so boring. He was boring on the show.
Oh, yeah.
He just doesn't. He never had pizzazz or personality, but I like that they made fun of him for painting his nails.
Whoever's dick he sucked to get that famous and to still have a talk show until like 2 years ago, literally having no personality.
Yeah, no. It's just, and he made
it. He had painted nails. That was the only attribute Carson Daly had. Carson Daly, if you hear this, fuck you.
I think he's on like Cricket Wireless. I don't think he can listen to us in any way.
If you have the bandwidth or if you have the space on your Cricket Wireless phone to download this episode, download it so you can hear me say, fuck you.
One day I do worry that the celebrities we shit talk are going to get back to us and
come at me. You don't think we can take fucking Carson Daly down?
Can we? I don't know.
I will do a Karate Kid kick into his face and his fucking.
Can you? I see. We could barely walk 45 minutes on the boardwalk. Can you fucking do a kick? Gary?
You're going to give me two of your Adderall.
No, I spent money on those. You were not getting.
My God, I'll give you the fucking money. Shut up.
You can't afford it.
You're right. I can't. I'll just tell my therapist to give me Adderall. That's fine.
Like it's that easy. It probably is for you. I don't know. I tried. It wasn't easy for me.
So yeah. So fuck you, Carson Daly. Ari Spears should have been Carson Daly because he has a personality.
Yeah, he has a personality.
Yeah. So they're telling her that, Carson's trying to kill Tara Reid and they think each other are hot. And then Aries is fighting Val and he starts doing a Bill Cosby impersonation.
I like that she shit talked his Chris Rock impersonation. Yeah. And she's like, that's terrible. But because you know what? Why do you need to do a Chris? The only time you need to do a Chris Rock impersonation is if you're doing the best role he ever had. And it was Ruby Rod from Fifth Element.
Yeah.
That's it.
That wasn't Chris Elliott. That wasn't Chris Rock.
Oh, fuck. You're right. That was Chris Tucker.
Chris Tucker.
Oh, my God. That's not me pulling a racism. That's me being genuinely fucking stupid.
No, people know that by now.
Okay, good.
No one thinks you're racist.
Either way, Chris Rock and Chris Tucker fucking suck, all right? That's why I got them confused, because they both fucking suck. Their movies suck. They suck. So that's why I am not getting defensive because I was wrong. I'm getting defensive because I hate them both equally.
You're allowed to hate them. It's fine.
Fuck Madagascar. Those movies suck.
All DreamWorks animation movies suck, except Shrek, where it's nothing but sensuality.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Shrek is the only good DreamWorks movie.
Yeah. All those movies suck. None of them, and Kathy and I have talked about this a lot. The reason DreamWorks can pop out a movie every, 6 weeks is because all they do is reuse animation. If you look at one of their movies, like a Minions movie, which God forbid we ever have to.
Nope, we won't. Don't worry.
And then you watch another Minions movie. It's all the same animation. It's just that's where Pixar differs because they do put a lot of time into character development and every Pixar movie looks different. So you put Despicable Me next to fucking, I don't know, Madagascar, and all the characters look the same.
Yeah, and terrible. Yeah,
so they suck. So basically, Josie is brainwashed from the CD, and she's a complete bitch to everybody.
Oh my God, that was a hard-to-watch scene, because it was really bitchy. So,
then she starts walking after she finished yelling at everybody and she's walking through the streets and she starts hearing different voices and it starts making her crazy and she drops the CD mint, which by the way, was next to the beeper. Was there a more useless thing in the world than a CD man?
We'll figure it out probably end of the episode.
Because
you're right. Like that CD, like you bump into it slightly, you're never hearing a CD again. Probably.
No, it's 100%. I remember when they switched from tape. Okay. So, you know, I'm old, but audio tapes, like the audio tapes were like my VHSs. I loved tapes. I made mixtapes, everything. I loved them. You could record up to 8 hours on them, and my Walkman would get me through the entire day. With a CD, man, literally, you are 100% right. If I sat the wrong way on the bus, it would skip, and I would have to carry around like 100 freaking CDs in a case, which always burdened my backpack. So,
oh no, not the backpack.
Yeah.
Don't burden your backpack.
My backpack.
Oh no.
Yeah. So Josie drops the CD and then she sees the bus pass with all of them on it. And she's like, what the fuck did I do? But the girls are gone because they are fighting the two Carson Dailies. So her and the Cabots start to uncover the truth about the music. They figure out the machine is using it for auto, like the auto tunes. And Alexandra's like, I knew there was something wrong when people said they liked your music. I'm like, you fucking rock. And they start destroying the machine. And we get literally, I had posted this on Instagram like a month ago when I watched this, the greatest line read of all time, where Parker Posey's like, oh, I'll help. Yeah, right. Like, you think I'm going to let you walk out of here and spoil everything? And I'm like, you are like, how you don't have, like, how you don't make $1 billion every year is beyond me.
She's, you know, she's modest.
The fucking friends of the cast of Friends, sans Lisa Kudrow, because I stan her forever, yeah, have billions of dollars from one of the most mediocre television shows of all time.
And here we have Parker Posey, who just, like, you know, does everything, and she does it with gusto. And I'm sure she's got money, but like, she doesn't have like the awards that she deserves.
No, only ravenous faggots like us bow down to her. Just like Christine Taylor. Christine Taylor, I think, is one of the greatest comedic finds of the 90s. Her Marsha Brady was pitch perfect, and how she didn't win an Oscar for that, because they don't like good shit.
Yeah, no, okay, I don't think she's good, but I don't think the Brady Bunch movie is Oscar worthy.
It is.
The sequel, yeah, though, a Reverie Brady sequel, that one.
They're both amazing.
Yeah, that one trumps the first one. But
oh, yeah, I love the second one.
Without a
doubt. That's where we get Sure Jan, and we also get George Glass, and... Yeah.
No, those are solid movies, but yeah, definitely. You're right. Everyone we love doesn't get the praise they truly deserve, because everyone's wrong.
Yeah, and you can tell by watching this movie. Everybody was wrong in 2001. There you go.
Exactly. Everyone's so wrong.
They have... So what they're doing is the concert is going to broadcast, and they're going to put this subliminal message that no one knows what it's about. And basically, if they're telling them on MTV News and everything like that, if you don't have the headphones, you're not going to be able to understand what's going on. You're not going to be able to hear the concert. So they're manufacturing these, and everybody has a pair, and they're all wearing them. They're all like zombied out. So Fiona then, or Parker Posey then, is like, so you're going to do the show, or... And she's like, yeah, but what about Val and Melody? She's like, oh, they're going to die. We're going to make them in a car. We're going to kill them in a car crash.
Then you get that heartfelt scene where, you know, Josie's telling them just how great they really are. And then, like, they love each other again. And I'm like, yeah, yay. And that pisses Fiona off. And then we get these perfect fight scenes.
Yeah. But you also get Josie saying, if I can go back in time, I would fix all this. And then Melody is like, if I can go back in time, I'd meet Snoopy. And I'm like, you're so adorable, Tara Reid.
Oh, I forgot to bring up, it was in my notes, they definitely pulled a Romy and Michelle with their fucking drive, with their bus passes.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, okay. I'm like, I'll let this slide. Now, obviously, you're not a Romy and Michelle, but it's cute that in all of Riverdale history, the only people with three people on a bus pass.
So, I did post this the other day. There are rumblings, and Mira Sorvino said that it's unofficial, but there are real talks going for a Romy and Michelle sequel. And let me tell you.
As it should be, because...
There should have been 20 of them by now.
There technically was one, and it was a prequel. It was, because it had Paula Abdul in it.
It also had fucking Jessica... Who's that bitch? Oh, Katherine Heigl. I hate her.
Oh, where'd you get Jessica from?
I don't know.
White, all we're white gonna, women.
I was trying to scare somebody to death.
Okay, shut up.
So then we get... Josie's like, I'm going to tell the world everything. And then DeJour shows up and Parker Posey is like, honestly, all the girls in the world would kill to be in your shoes. But here you stand running away from it all. Why? So you can go crawling back to Shitsdale and spend the rest of your life being washed up with your loser friends, Mopey and Dopey.
Not wrong. Like, that was a powerful fucking monologue delivered perfectly.
Yeah. And then they beat the shit out of each other. And it turns out that the subliminal message is basically what we would do. We'd be like, listen to the miseducation of David and Gary. Like, they are so cool. We are cool. Yeah.
Give them money.
It's all of her because she's a dork. Because she had a lisp. And then Alan Cumming is like, wait a second. I'm albino from high school. And
light ass Wally.
Yeah. And he takes off his wig and he's got like white scalp. And then he butts his jacket and he's got a big fat stomach and she's got horrible teeth and they start kissing. And I'm like, this movie is perfection.
It is. Yes, it is. It is pure perfection.
Yeah.
So but that's all we watch sometimes is pure perfection.
Yeah. So then Alexander's like, oh, I hate labels now. And he takes his clothes off. And I'm like, oh, we can see a little ass. This is PG-13.
It's like, thank you for that.
Yeah. And then Alexander's like, no, I don't need to worry about it. I think I'm perfect. And the FBI comes in. And he's like, holy shit, that girl's got a skunk on her head. And I have seen this movie like 15 times and that line makes me laugh so hard every time.
He's like, oh, I'm sorry, but that's messed up. And I'm like, oh my god. It's like, leave Missy alone.
Yeah. So they have the concert and they don't need to have subliminal messages. Everybody loves them. And then Alan M, of course, because he's a toxic male, has to ruin Josie's one the most exciting moment of her life to tell her then he loves her. Fuck you, Alan M.
It's like she's performing. She just uncovered a big government conspiracy. She does not have time for you and your love.
Yeah. I mean, like,
you bag of shit.
Read the fucking room. Like, could you wait till the concert's over? You're ruining their song. They literally are playing like what, Madison Square, Quebec?
Basically, they're playing an arena.
Yeah.
So undisclosed then, arena. Yeah.
Then he kisses her and she's like, get off the stage. I'm like, yeah, of course. This is her big break, Alan M. Sorry that you suck and you're playing coffee houses with your fucking sitar. Fuck you, Alan M.
He's a piece of shit.
Yeah. And that basically ends the movie. By the way, Parker Posey and Alan Cumming go to jail because the government, of course, covers them up.
Yeah. Basically.
Yep. There you go.
As you do.
You guys hate the government? You'll love this movie.
That's a great review for the movie.
Yeah. Guys, we're so happy. Yes. No. What?
Oh, I thought you were going to say, like, this movie slaps 5 stars. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, this movie does slap. It's 110 stars.
What? That's so many stars.
That's right. Just like the stars that I saw when we met Tara Reid and Felissa Rose.
Yes, all the goods, the good ladies.
Guys, we love you. We're very happy. We're happy that we have our miseducated or our baby girls, whatever you guys want to call yourselves. Who cares? To everybody, If you guys want, we will, with the episodes, when I link it up tonight, I will put the Planned Parenthood website there so you could click there, or you can click through our Instagram stories to donate. If you want, we will have some new shirts. If you want some old shirts, if you want designs, you can always request it. You know, our DMs are open. You can slide into our DMs anytime.
We encourage it.
Yeah, we want stuff like that. We do have to make a Shockma shirt, David. So I think I'll be working on that this weekend.
I'll work on that too, because I want to redo the poster in Inferno. But
yes, we'll have multiple Shockma shirts, and we will have Shockma, my body, my Shockma.
That's ridiculous, and I love it.
My shock choice. Shockma stands with you women. If Shockma could, he would go to the Supreme Court and bang into their doors until they opened it and then rip their faces off, because Shockma loves women too.
Yeah, Shockma killed everyone. So
yeah,
doesn't that matter?
Yeah, Roddy McDowell was like, oh, if I just, I'll stand in the elevator for a couple of minutes. Oh, yeah. Wait, there's a crazy baboon coming after me. I'll just stand in the elevator somewhere. Get in the fucking elevator.
I'll just keep staring at this big thing that's coming towards me.
Roddy McDowell wanted out of that movie so bad. He was like, yeah, I got six lines. Then you're going to kill me in the elevator, right? And they're like,
thank you.
We're going to revisit Shockma again because we just love that movie. We should do just a month. Oh, yeah. Next May, Shockma.
Next May, we're having guests come on to watch Shockma.
And they can't have watched Shockma before.
Yes.
We will have most likely Carlene come on because she is our Shockma champion and did help introduce both of us to it, right?
Yeah. So,
or did you introduce it to her?
I saw a count post a clip from it. I sent it to her. She talked about the movie, and then I just randomly got hooked on the idea of Shockma, and then I sent it to you, and then we watched it. Now we are forever grateful for Shockma.
Shockma, you know, shock through the heart, and you're too late, baby. Okay. You give love a baboon.
Okay, go to bed. You're done. This is fucking ridiculous now.
We love you guys. If you have any, call us, text us, email us, all the craps in our notes for the show every week. Plus, you guys, we know who you are. So just DM us. We love you.
Fucking love you.
Yeah, we do. Get ready for the Miseducated Angels coming soon too. So we got some work to do this weekend, my friend.
I'm gonna shit myself this weekend.
You didn't shit yourself, which I was very happy that you didn't, because the rooms were on my credit card.
Yeah, because I've been constipated. I don't know why.
Maybe because you're taking Adderall. It does kind of.
Didn't take it the weekend, so.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. I don't know. Maybe you just don't know how to shit.
Right. I forgot how to shit.
That's okay. You forgot. It's cool.
Yeah, right. It's okay. I just have all this backed up feces that I'm going to get toxic Shockma syndrome.
You're going to get toxic Shockma syndrome?
That's right.
Oh, by the way, before we end, how horrible does that bus smell going to Atlantic City?
Fucking. Okay, if pro tip, don't take the Greyhound anywhere, because inconsiderate people will have diarrhea in the bathroom. Not diarrhea even like,
and toxic shock tampons.
Yeah. So if you're going to take a bus, do the NJ Transit, because that bus, the seats are bigger. You have to be quiet on it, because if you're not, fucking New Jersey Karen will yell at you.
Oh my God, that was the greatest. So yeah,
me and Adam got to experience that. You did. You.
Yeah, I was peeing for the 315th time.
Oh, you dance into the music. You're just not going to answer your phone?
My bad.
Yeah. Yeah, way to get lost in your ringtone.
Sorry. So yeah, we were on the bus and literally it smelled like a donkey died, someone dropped a placenta on the donkey and then shit all over it, and it sat in the sun for like a week. And I'm not going to say anybody's name, but we kind of missed the bus coming back to New York.
Well, luckily it wasn't a Greyhound.
Yeah, I kind of feel like that was God saying, you know what, you deserve better. The quiet bus was great because we had some dumb motherfucker sitting in front of me and Adam, but David could hear everything he was saying. And he was just like jibber jabbering and like making phone calls to everybody and like FaceTiming them. But he looked like a big dummy because he's FaceTiming and he's like got the camera on his big fat belly. And
he was gross and he was annoying. And that's why, you know, New Jersey Karen yelled at him because she's like, this is the quiet car. And he's on his phone, like on FaceTime, just loudly talking like, sir, please shut up. We had a long weekend of celebrities and, you know, $8 gelato. Just shut up.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, guys, never take the Greyhound because it smells like literally everything was fine until some dumbass decided to take a piss. And that door opened. It was like fucking Pandora's box. And Kathy slept through it all.
Yeah. Lucky her. She's a brave woman.
Yeah. She's like, oh, I smelled it. I was like, how did you sleep then? Like, all four of us, like all three of us had our heads like underneath our shirts. Like we were like, so we love you guys. Don't take the Greyhound. Take New Jersey Transit first. It was very nice. I mean, it did take a little longer because they did have like two stops, but I did get to pee and I did get to pick up snacks. So, cause they did stop at a gas station. So we love it. We don't love New Jersey. We don't love Atlantic City, but we will go back there. And we love Tara Reid and we love Felissa Rose. And yes, hopefully she gets on the show.
Felissa forever.
Yeah. Oh my God. We should make that shirt too. She would love that. A Mark Wahlberg shirt where it says Felissa forever.
You got it, baby.
All right. We love you guys. See you next week.
Goodbye.